Welcome back, Survivor fans, to another episode of Tribal Council. It is week 10 of season 23, Survivor South Pacific. I am your co-host, Ralph, with Chris, and we are here to bring you all of the hard-hitting action and provide our own take on the events of the day. Chris, how are you this evening?
I'm good. I feel like, you know, it's week 10 now. We're into double digits. We've probably shed those early season woes of hosting, and I think this is going to be a top-notch podcast.
So you're talking about week 9, then?
I'm not singling out any particular week. I'm just saying in general, you know, the preseason's over, and we're ready for prime time, you know? We played our starters for the first, like, quarter of last week's podcast, and then we sat out the starters for the rest of the podcast.
So we're rested for the stretch run. Is that what we're saying?
Exactly. You know, we didn't want to pull anything or injure anything during the last part of that podcast, because that would just be tragic. So we sort of we took the last 45 minutes of that podcast off. Let's
hey
just
man, that was quality audio. I don't know what you're talking about. I started taking notes, and like as things were going, all of a sudden I find myself at the immunity challenge, and I'm like, what the heck happened to this episode? And then I kind of realized where they were going with this thing.
With the extra long tribal council.
Yes. And yeah. So I don't know why Jeff bothered to say, hey, surprise the tribal council. He could have just told us exactly what everyone knew, which was double elimination tonight.
Well, yeah. I mean, the idea is to give them as little planning as possible for it. If you ask me, the way to do that is to not say that there's any surprise whatsoever and just surprise them.
That's a good point. Are you a bigger fan of this type of double elimination or the pre-merge, both tribes go to tribal elimination?
Oh, where like the tribe that wins immunity doesn't even really win
immunity.
They
don't immunity. Win immunity.
They just win the chance for an individual to get immunity in that tribe, right? Usually that's how they do it. Right? Like tribe A beats tribe B, but then tribe A doesn't even get immunity. They then compete within themselves for immunity, and one person is safe at their tribal, whereas no one's safe at tribe's B tribal council.
Has that happened recently?
Where they probably, well, not recently, but the general idea of sending both tribes to tribal council in the same episode hasn't happened recently either. So,
but like the way I'm usually used to seeing is like one tribe wins, and then there are air quotes there when I say it like that. And what they win is like the opportunity to have a reward, which they eat while they watch.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
they get to sit in on the tribal council because in this game, information is power. As Jeff reminds us during those episodes.
And it's Coach said. Coach said that today, too.
That's true. Coach also said information is power. I could go either way. I think this style could take the lead for being the preferred method for double elimination if they truly made it a surprise. Like, oh, by the way, put your torches back down. We're going to do another challenge right now and vote as soon as the challenge is over. Like, that would provide some actual, like, oh, whoa, did not see that coming, you know?
Right, and, you know, for the people on the island, they don't have the luxury of knowing that there's 20 minutes left on your DVR, that
right,
there's
exactly.
More show to be had.
They had us show up to Tribal Council at 8 o'clock instead of 8:30 tonight.
I will
not that
say,
anybody brings,
you know,
a watch to the island.
For those of you who aren't rabid fans of the show, and I don't know how you're listening to this podcast if you aren't, but you know, the built-in nature of the show is that they have to leave wiggle room in case people either get injured or want to quit the game. So,
since they started going to more than 16 contestants starting, yeah.
The double elimination is a necessary evil, and I understand it, and I appreciate it, because that means we get the full slate of episodes, and there's no episode where they don't send anyone home. That's, like, agreed upon, but that is seriously way worse than an episode where they send two people home. So,
You mean, like, because somebody gets injured, and they disappear, and then you don't
And they're
have
like, hey, everyone go back to your camp, no one's getting eliminated. Like, that's the worst.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and they obviously have to put them late. They have to put the double limbs late in the season because obviously you don't want to give up your cushion right off the bat.
And that, well, I think that's some of it too, because sometimes they'll do it pre-merge, and it's like, it doesn't make sense because now you've thrown away your cushion, at least part of your cushion, before you've even got there. I think you know, it might be fun to have like no double eliminations until the final episode and just the smorgasbord of eliminations and to hell with the Fallen Comrades montage.
To be honest, I didn't really like last year's finale when there were like 8 people still alive. I mean, like half the people who were in the original, were in the cast, were alive for the title, because we had 4 people at Redemption Island, and was it 4 or was it 5 people still in the game? I think it was 4 people still in the game.
Are you not counting Redemption Island?
To me.
You're not counting Redemption Island, or?
Yeah. There were 4 people like full on in the game, and then 4 people at Redemption Island going into the finale of last season, and that was just a little too ridiculous to me.
Do you know when the date is for the finale?
The well said.
Yeah. Thank you.
I do not know when the finale is.
You're saying it wrong.
Oh, I am. I mean, right, there's a lot of ways you could go with it.
By the way,
what happened? I thought Probst said we were only doing head-to-head challenges at Redemption Island.
But, there was only one winner. There were not multiple winners. There was, like, one person wins, everybody loses.
Last season,
you just had to not finish last.
Oh, that's right. They just sort of would knock out one at a time until it came to a head, and you were like, okay, well, we can't, now we have to eliminate everybody but one.
Right, yes.
And now this week and next week, we're going to have back-to-back challenges that are
three for one.
You wanted to call them last year. I think they're just 3-person duels.
Truels,
that's what you wanted to call them, my bad.
No,
I forgot, you actually invented a new word that's awful. Yeah, so now we'll have back-to-back truels with, you know, 5 people having inhabited Redemption Island within a, you know, 2 or 3 day span there.
Yeah, Ozzy's got a lot of company to keep happy. I think, you know, you have to like his chances. I mean, obviously his chances are better if it was just one-on-one, but even 2 against him, you know, his chances are really amazing. To run this table and get back in this game, and if he gets back in the game with 1 or 2 challenges to go, his chances of making the jury or making the final 3 are pretty solid, you have to think.
You mean challenge-wise?
Yeah, just to run the table.
Yeah, and certainly he survived the biggest or at least the biggest test for the next couple of episodes.
Dawn, I think, is his biggest test.
I guess. I mean, she has a chance to take him out, probably.
The challenges that are present on Redemption Island. Like, they're not trying to go for strength or speed. It's always about balance, focus, concentration. And Dawn has shown that she has that in the challenges that involve that.
That's true.
There wasn't a doubt in my mind during the rice challenge that she was going to be there at the end.
Yeah, that was... It's funny, that challenge... it was an interesting challenge. Like, I liked the concept, but ultimately, like, it was a boring manifestation, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think it makes for good television.
Where was the challenge this year where, like, people are, like, throwing stuff at each other and, like, really, like, getting down and dirty with each other? Like, I feel like
you mean when they play, like, rugby cross with basketball
kind,
and stuff like
tackling.
That?
Tackling, right. Something where they're, like... Like, engaging each other physically.
Like that one where James ended up with a knee 3 times the size it should be a couple seasons
ago.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I think what it was is that, you know, they had... There was that. There was... The season before that was Samoa where... I can't remember his name. He was the guy who was just, like, the unapologetic bigot. He ended up, like, taking somebody out in a similar thing. And Probst pulled him out of the challenge and said, "You're done."
Yeah.
I want to say his name was Ben? I don't know. He was tall and lanky and dark-haired and and went after. It wasn't Nayanka. It was the other girl.
Yeah.
Who was,
no, I know who you're talking about.
Of a similar disposition. Two seasons before Nayanka, I can't remember her name. She's the girl who wore like heels. She wore socks, but she also wore like heels to Tribal Council, and Probst commented on it, and she was like, "You know, I'm getting dressed up for you, Jeff."
Oh, well, so where are we in our summary?
Where are we? We're nowhere. We haven't even started, really. We've just sort of randomly touched.
We've hit the highlights, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple things off the top, you know. I thought it was odd that Coach disparaged Jim afterwards. I mean, that, I feel like that's not the way to keep the tribe together. The only thing I can think of is if that's his own sort of spin on, like, the Boston Rob approach. You know,
he was telling it to Whitney and Dawn, so I don't know what
he was telling everybody.
It looked like he was addressing Whitney specifically, like, you know, like, you know, you, oh, may, yeah, you may she have was been sort with standing Jim, firm. But, like, you know, he was not the kind of guy to back you up. I guess, I don't know to what end he thought that would, like, help him either curry favor with them or put them in line or something to where they, you know, I have no idea what purpose it served to call. You're right.
I thought it was odd. Like, I felt like for a guy who preaches togetherness, I feel like this presents an opportunity for you to for a rift to arise in the tribe, because you're not being Mr. Positivity and Mr. Unity. You're actually being like, damn, it's a good thing he's gone, which the first thing I would think is, gosh, I wonder what he'll say about me when I'm gone, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes you that much less likely to be loyal to him. That scene with Cochran and Coach doing their yoga. That was just priceless, especially because, I mean, for all of the making fun that Coach draws from this routine, you know, at the very least, he's graceful in doing it. You know, I'll pay him that compliment. You know, he's got his routine well choreographed, and he knows what he's and then to put Cochran of all people next to him doing, you know, like, Cochran's got like little tiny divots in the sand around him from where he had to keep catching his balance, you know, whereas Coach, it's like, you know,
there's one pair of footprints and that's it.
There's one pair of footprints and that's it, exactly.
You know, they give Cochran a great edit because they cut to him at one point during the immunity challenge, and it was like the perfect shot, like dead on him. You can see the focus in his face, but you can see he has no chance to keep that bowl of rice on his head.
Yeah.
I was sort of
surprised Coach didn't do better in that challenge, you know, given all of his, you
core
know, spirituality
exercises.
And yoga warrior and all that stuff.
Yeah. But you know what? He didn't have the heat on him. So, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, when the screws are put to you, you know, that you're going to step up a little bit more.
Yeah, and maybe not drawing the attention by winning too many challenges or anything like that. Not that he's already won challenges, but...
Right.
Cochran, it's sort of funny. He calls himself out for drinking the Coach Kool-Aid. But I think he's right. You know, he needs to cozy up. He needs to get Coach liking him. And it looks like it's working, because it looks like Coach is opening up to him in terms of his fears in the tribe and, you know, within the actual Upolu alliance.
I think, I don't know that could be dual purpose, because I think too, it also sends a message to Cochran, like, hey, I'm not stupid. Like, I know, you know, that the moves could be made at this point. So don't think I'm not going to be watching you. I think it's kind of like a subtle, like, you know, moves can be made at this point, and I know that you know you are capable of that. So, I think he doesn't think it was.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's what it was. I'm saying I don't think you can discount the fact that might be it. That like he's sort of letting you know Cochran know, like, look, you're not stupid. I know that you're a Harvard student. You're a student of the game. You know what could happen at this point in the game. So, you know, I and he's letting him know I'm not stupid, and also I know that this is the time to make the move. So, I mean, just so that, you know, I mean, ultimately, that may have played a factor in the plan changing at Tribal Council.
Yeah. So, Should we move on to Redemption Island? The challenge there?
Yeah, I mean we've summarized a lot of it. You know, there was endurance challenge. They've had this one before. They have two pillars that they're pressing against an overhead board. It requires just insane amounts of shoulder strength and concentration to maintain that position for as long as they can.
It's actually even worse than I thought. I thought there was just a board that's held up there that then you push the that you're pushing the pillars up against, but that the board is stationary. I think that board. Oh no, I guess it didn't fall afterwards, but I feel like it's not actually completely stationary. I feel like it's got a bit of a pivot against
the
that
rounded
arm.
It's the rounded ends of the poles that allow them to slide around so much, and just so it's an unnatural angle for you to like sit there with your arms like that for so long.
I felt like Ozzy had a bit of an advantage based on the positioning. You know, like how he was set behind the other two. I mean, obviously, seeing the other person isn't necessarily a full-on advantage. It's not like you gotta hide your cards from each other or something like that. But to see the others when the others can't see you, you know, you have the advantage of seeing what techniques they're using, and does that work, doesn't that work? You have the advantage of, ooh, they're close, I just gotta hold out a little bit more, whereas Keith can't see that.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm making a whole lot of that.
Just, I don't know, it was the first thing that occurred to me. I thought it was odd that they weren't spread out or put in a circle all facing each other.
That would have been better. That would have been better. It would have been hell on the cameraman, but it would have been better TV to sit there and, like, watch them eye each other down. And
yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
I did appreciate the cameras that were suspended directly above them from that arm where the plank of wood is. You know, getting that shot of Ozzy looking directly up as he's trying to... I thought that was, I don't know, a good idea. You know, it's like a rim cam from the NBA or whatever.
So Jim and Keith get their fuzzy sendings off, and, you know, Probst tells them they're jury members 1 and 2, and Ozzy goes on a little rant about how, like, he's exactly where he wants to be, and he's eating amazing proteins, and blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think he's just given a good sell. You know, ultimately, there's no reason that makes any sense. I mean, you know, Stacy and I, when we were watching it, she said to me, she's like, maybe they're, you know, that's kind of right. Like, maybe they shouldn't have put him on Redemption Island there, because then he could just...
No, that's wrong.
He can give himself, he can feed himself as much as he wants. And I was like, no. Because ultimately, you are, if you want him out of the game,
right, you have to
he has to go through Redemption Island.
Yeah.
So the sooner you put him on Redemption Island, the more chances you give him to lose at Redemption Island.
No, right? I don't think there's a mistake in putting him on the island, but okay. I think there is something to the fact that he isn't going to spend his time wondering who's scheming against him and who does he have to trust, who does he not. Like, there's no scramble for him.
Yeah.
It's just meditate, climb trees, and eat protein.
Yeah. Old Ozzy is back. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
At the beginning of this season, it looked like Ozzy'd put on the weight and he didn't really have it anymore with the fishing and the, you know, prancing along the tops, along treetops and stuff like that.
Cuddling now, with Elise.
Right, exactly. Now, I mean, he's back. He's climbing trees and just dropping coconuts everywhere on the beach. He's coming back with like 6 fish. He doesn't even have to go hunting for the next 3 days. It's great. The interesting thing is, you know, I figure each person who comes through, what will work in his favor is each person that comes through Redemption Island isn't there for very long, right? I mean, they're there, they show up, they've already eaten dinner, basically, right? Because they show up late at night. And I assume the challenge is basically the next morning, maybe at like, you know, noon or 2 o'clock, something like that. So maybe they eat one meal, maybe 2 meals there, right? It's not like they're spending 3 days there.
No, no. But, I mean, yeah.
So, he's not put in a position to where he has to choose between where he's, like, fully feeding the person for a while.
Right.
And then has to choose, like, you know, should I ration the amount of food I'm giving them? And then does that then hurt me since they're going to end up on the jury? You know, it's an interesting dilemma that I think could come up, that's a little bit dampened by the fact that I don't think people spend much time there between arrival and their challenge.
Yeah.
You know, Keith, I think, is the only person who...
got multiple meals. Like,
who spent more time. Or actually, no, that's not true. I guess Ozzy is, because it was Keith was there first.
Oh, and then Ozzy,
somebody,
yeah.
And then Ozzy showed up. So yeah, Ozzy was the one who actually spent a night there.
Good call.
With somebody and not going right to a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about. I mean, obviously, we talked about the immunity challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's
and
move
I think you know, for Sophie, I thought she made the right move. She correctly gauged that she was in that lead lap of the race, but she wasn't going to have a chance to make it up. So she had to take her time. She had to make her move. Then it was either she wins it there or she doesn't.
Yeah, it was a power move.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta take the gamble. You're third. You're not gonna win if it goes another lap. So why not make that one count?
Yeah. So let's talk about the strategy here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot
to talk about.
Yeah, you've got, you know, basically it all centers around Cochran and Albert, right?
Yep.
The way I see it, first off, I like how Albert's thinking. Like Albert is playing. Or at least attempting to play a two-pronged game, the game is being guided by two notions, not just one. So many people play the game guided solely by the notion of get me to the end, and I'll worry about carrying votes later on. And he's playing it being guided by both the get me to the end notion and the I need to have some votes at the end. Ideal. So I like that out of him. And on top of it, he's in a position where he can afford to do that too. Right? I mean, it's not like Cochran ultimately, you can argue, should only be playing by the mantra, get me to the end of the game.
Yeah.
Right? Because he can't afford the luxury of mixing in some concern for jury votes right now.
No.
Whereas Albert can.
Yes.
And I like Albert's choices. I like that he wants to get out Edna. It's going to curry some favor with Cochran because Cochran's going to, you know, Cochran doesn't go first out of the Apollo quote unquote seven. And it looks like Albert's the one that made that happen. The same thing for Dawn and Whitney. Like, this is a good idea. Where he goes a little bit wrong, I think, is in completely opening up that playbook.
And letting people know why.
To Sophie and Cochran. Now, for Cochran, it doesn't matter so much. I mean, basically what I was thinking in that scene where it's Cochran, Albert, and Sophie talking was, if I'm Sophie or Cochran, like, either A, I'm screwed because he plans on taking me to the end, and it looks like we rode his coattails, or B, he plans on getting rid of me because we can basically make the same case that he can, and thus we pose a threat to him at the end. And either way is not good for me.
Right, it's a real catch-22 for them.
It is.
They can go with them, but it's not going to be a winning track. It's more of a get me to the end track.
Right. Cochran, however, is in no position to sneeze at that offer, so he has to take it. So it's not really a big deal that he opened up the playbook to Cochran there. Sophie, on the other hand, is in a position to turn down this. She has a lot of power there, as she points out. She says, you know,
she's
I'm sort
swing.
Of the swing vote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, because she's opened up that playbook, you know, she can say, well, this isn't really the smart play for me here, because once we do this, we've outed ourselves from this alliance.
Yeah.
The old alliance is dead,
yeah.
And now we have to stick with this five until, again, Pareto efficiency kicks in, mm-hmm. and we're able to then start voting off our own,
mm-hmm.
i.e. Dawn or Whitney.
Whitney.
Who... I think actually you probably have to, you might even keep Whitney around. I don't know. It's tricky there because you know, there's going to be a handful of Savai on the Savai on the jury, so they're probably voting for Whitney.
I originally was of the opinion coming to this episode that Cochran didn't have a route to win, but I feel like there's no route for him to win the $1 million, and I kind of like during this episode seeing how he kind of was very political with Whitney and Dawn, and at the same time, like, you know, going after Albert in a smart way.
Yep.
I thought, you know, that he could sell it well enough to enough people that, you know, look, I made the moves I had to make. I played both sides. I'm here. You know, and as long as he's doing it in a way where he's not being taken there.
Right, just dragged along by somebody else.
As long as he can do it in such a way where he's not being taken there, I think there's a route for him to win that $1 million. But
I completely agree with that.
I don't know that things went his way this episode. Like,
no, he definitely did not.
He needed the plan to go through. So, you know, he's now back on very marginal chances to find a route to the $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah, going into this episode, I very much thought he had a decent... He actually does have a much better chance than... the casual viewer might otherwise think, and it's because of exactly what you said. Like, if he takes active steps towards getting to the final three or final two, whatever it ends up being, you know, all he has to do then is just make a decent sell, I think. And I mean, obviously, that's all anybody ever has to do once they get to the final three, right? Is make a decent sell, because as we've seen, most people don't make a decent sell.
Or if you go into it with a great case, don't mess it up.
Right.
Don't F that up.
And I think all he needs to do for the cell is to say the stuff that he basically already is aware of. You know, I'm not physically intimidating. I was not ever going to out athlete anybody here. And clearly that put me in harm's way very early on. I managed to stick around. You may believe that I stuck around because you decided I got to stick around, but regardless, I stuck around.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I made the moves I needed to make to get myself to the end.
Yeah, and
strategic game.
I'm here, and I had a part in all of you sitting over there. And
well, not even I wouldn't even go to that, because the thing is Cochran needs to be careful with his cockiness, because he
his
can co- come off
cockiness
as
and his Cochraniness.
Right, he can come off as cocky very easily. Like right after he made the flip to Apollo,
and he strutted around in the jacket.
Yes, he had a lot of strutty moments. That, you know, that's not how you're going to get votes, right? I mean, you already piss these people off. Don't strut around in coach's jacket. That's not smart.
No.
But if you can sell it as, you know, I played the game I had to play in order to get to the final three. And if you can convince people of that, then they may respect that and actually vote for you, because they'll realize, you know, this guy really was sort of the underdog because of the fact that, you know, he's not a provider. He's not a challenge threat. Or more importantly, he's not a challenge asset to a tribe. So he was most eligible to go home right off the bat, and he still made it to the end playing a strategic game. So I think he actually does have a decent chance to win the $1 million. That said,
you still feel that way?
Well, in the sense that if he can make it to the final three, I think he has a very good chance of winning the $1 million, especially now. However, his chances of making it to the final three are very narrow. I mean, obviously, I mean, they're down to seven people in that tribe now, and it's the six original Apollo and Cochran.
Yeah.
I also think that, I think Albert kind of blew it. I think he needed to sell this bigger. Because the thing is the eyes are on him. I mean, the teaser showed us that they're worrying about Brandon and are we going to vote him out or whatever. But the eyes are on him. And the two alphas in that tribe are him and Coach. The eyes are not on Coach, even though he's the other alpha. You know, nobody's thinking about, like, watch out for Coach, what's he doing? Who, oh, by the way, is playing a pretty good replica of the Boston Rob playbook from last season.
Well, that's what I wonder. I mean, I feel like...
And there's an extent to which he's doing it in his own way.
It's a different game, but it's the same elements of, you need to trust me, I'm going to keep you paranoidly loyal. You know, like I'm always watching. Like, we made these agreements. What are you doing? Talk to these people, but not in a way that's like confrontational necessarily.
Yeah,
I know what you're up to.
Yeah, his is much more unity based. Very much more, you know, this is the honor of the game based. Whereas Boston Rob's had much more of a fear built into it. You know, as David pointed out, when they voted out Matt for the second time, you know, that was genius. He showed you, you stray, you're gone. You know,
but Coach used those words this time. He's like, if you go away from the family, you're dead.
Well, right. He did that to the camera, and my immediate note was, you're not Boston Rob. You may be playing his game, but you can't politic the way Boston Rob can. Like, you don't... Coach does not have the ability to talk the game that Boston Rob talks. As he exhibited at Tribal Council, you know, he said a few things at Tribal Council that Boston Rob would never have said. You know, talking about getting information, stuff like that, you know, when his ears perked up because Albert referred to him as a figurehead, which is funny because he sort of perked up, and maybe that was just an edit, maybe it didn't really happen that way, but,
yeah.
You know, it was clearly obvious that Albert was speaking hypothetically. He was speaking from the perspective of a Savian, you know, not from his own perspective, but in that same vein, Albert also was saying things that Boston Rob would never have said at a tribal council.
He's not in the same position. It's not the same game for him.
Well, true. That's true.
Have we officially moved on to tribal council?
We're there, more or less.
So they kind of talked by talking to Cochran about, like, you know, you're in position 7, like, this is the time to make moves, and, you know, Probst is trying to pour the waterboarding water on him, and, like...
Right, yeah.
He's, like, trying to hold his poker face.
It was
good. But everyone else around him is smiling, like, yeah, you know, you really should be thinking stuff, and he tries to hold it, and you can... But the thing is, I think he showed too much effort in his poker face. Like, he should have been a little more roll with the punches while at the same time.
Well, the thing you have to remember is, at that point, for us as a viewer, we believe there's a decent chance that this plan may go through, that he's actually making the move now, not 2 votes later. But for him, he knows that the plan, that's not going to happen. Right, so actually, it seems like it's a pretty decent poker face, but in actuality, there's no poker face to it
because
right?
There's no betrayal to be had that night.
Because he's not actually making a move that night, yeah. Even though he actually did, you know, explore it. I mean, that was the unfortunate thing is that he, you know, I feel like that was his chance, and I think he just needed to give Albert, you know, another small nudge or two.
It's
and
then the
and
moment.
Albert would have given a much bigger sell, I think, to Sophie.
It's just the same moment last season where, like, the girls could have made a move. And I'm trying to, like, frantically pull up the roster for Survivor last...
I think it was Steve and Ralph were the last two left, right?
But no, there was, like, a moment where, like, the girls could have made a move against Boston Rob. But, like, my girl, Ashley, she's like, I just don't want to make a move with what's-her-name. With Andrea. She's like, she could have made a move with, like, her and Andrea, and they could have made a move against Boston Rob, but Ashley refused on the grounds that she didn't want to team up with Andrea. I mean, it's like the same inflection point. Like, this is where the game should have turned, and you refused the opportunity, you know?
Yeah, although the thing is, like I said, I think Sophie... Like, that's why I don't question Sophie. I think Albert needed to sell this move better. Sophie ultimately had two ways she could go, and I think she recognized what I was pointing out, that ultimately, you know, Albert's trying to bring her into this plan that probably only includes her for a little bit, maybe not for the whole way. You know, I think we've always sort of put Albert and Sophie in the same boat, and I don't think they are. You know, I don't think they're as close as we thought they were.
Well, it seemed like they should move as a duo just because they saw the game from the same angle.
Yes. But I think because of that, she realizes that beating him is, you know, if she sits with him at the final, and I imagine he probably realizes the same thing, if they sit with each other at the final, they're a coin flip against each other.
Yeah.
No matter what. So they need to not sit with each other
and,
at the final.
And worst possible scenario, they split the votes and it goes to whoever else they drag along with them.
Well, I mean, that's only... If that's the case, though... I mean, let's assume we're going nine, right? Nine jury members and three at Final Tribal. If that's the case, then they won't... Then the only way that could ever happen is if they split four votes and the other person got five, but that means the other person was going to win no matter where those four votes
were. Or if they split five votes, that could have gone to one of them and it goes to the other.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So that it goes 4-3-2, four to the last person, and then 3-2 to... Yeah, okay, that's true. I was thinking of a actual tie, but I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Whatever. The argument can be made the same for both of them, so you don't want to get in that situation where...
No.
Your comparison is too close to one another. I thought Whitney and Dawn did an admirable job in presenting their case at Tribal Council, and especially like when Whitney, you know, Probst is like, Whitney, you rolled your eyes. She's like, did I? And she like pours on like, the southern charm. I thought it was so charming. I was like, I would totally want to be on board with you right now because I think you kind of get that, like...
And oh, by the way, that has nothing to do with strategy, but go ahead.
You're also cute and from the South. But, like, you know, I thought they both, you know, Dawn sort of spelled out the logical case for it. Like, this is, we're two free votes. You know, we haven't broken promises. You know, Whitney was like, you know, being her cute self, and I was sold. So, you know, if Albert had just gone to me and been like, hey, you know, you want to go with these two girls and Cochran, I've been like, yeah, let's go. So, you know, from a Sophie point of view, if you asked me if I'd rather play with Whitney and Dawn or Rick and Edna, I'm taking Rick and Edna.
Like, that's true, exactly, because it was Whitney who said it. I think Whitney's been listening to our podcast. She said it in the episode today. She's like... Brandon, we can't go talking to Brandon because Brandon's a loose cannon. No one knows what's going to happen with him. We can't go to Rick because Rick's not even playing the game. I mean, she's
and
listening to our podcast.
So far up Coach's ass that you like you
yeah,
can't get
exactly.
near.
Oh, and that I have to give props to Albert, who came up with the new slogan for that Hoarders show on TLC. Out organize, out clean, out gather. Did you not catch that line?
No, I don't know what you're referring to.
It's when they were Albert and Sophie, and I think Cochran was there as well, although he might not have been. They're talking about this plan of like, do we get rid of Edna in this move here, going with Whitney and Dawn? And, you know, Albert's talking about how she's worthless. She has no redeeming qualities relevant to this game. And he says, you know, this is Survivor. It's not out organize, out clean, out gather. You know, it was an absolutely awesome line. I loved it because it was so on point. It was such a great little snark. Like, you showed up on the wrong show. You should have been on some TLC or Home and Garden Network TV show.
Yeah, she's an anesthesiologist. You know, like she's used to having very little resistance from the people she's working with. It's like, here, I'm going to give you this, and then they're out, and that's it.
That's true. Like,
there's very little pushback normally.
That's true. She
and if there
allies
is,
very
if there is,
her
it's
life.
Her job to medicate that. So
right. That's true. She has this sort of. Alliance serum to give that she can give everybody, and they just do whatever it is she needs them to do.
I got a question. Mm-hmm. Where will the Survive votes go? Obviously, Ozzy if he makes it back.
Oh, okay. In the final Tribal Council.
Mm-hmm. There's gonna
so
be
at this, so at this point we're guaranteed
five
for four.
Of them. There's gonna be five Survive votes in the
four.
Final. Oh, I guess
we're
I'm
guaranteed
counting Cochran.
Four.
I'm counting Cochran, but I should so
no
four. There's gonna be four.
No, and plus even if Cochran hadn't made this move where he became the outcast of the Savai, I still think you could count on him to be a juror, in the vein that I expect a juror to.
The free agent to,
who listens to legitimate cases and doesn't go based on beef, with the exception of if Keith were in the final three. I don't think he would ever give Keith
Jim,
his vote.
Jim.
No, I think Jim he might give a vote to Keith. Wow. I don't think he would ever give a vote to.
Why? Because he's the most.
Because he's the most beathead, bully. And he was the one who did the most like, was the most condescending towards him on the, when they were on the island together.
Okay, so four votes. Where are they going?
So assuming there's, so obviously if Ozzy's there, they go to Ozzy. If Ozzy's not there.
If Ozzy's not there, then it's 5 votes.
Then it's 5 votes. There's a small part of me that thinks that Ozzy might actually consider voting for Cochran. Despite that. Cause I think, I think Ozzy's been pretty level-headed about all this. You know, despite how much it hurt him,
right.
Either gameplay wise or a little bit emotionally or whatever, I think he recognizes that Cochran is in a position where this is the only game he has, and thus, you know, he has to use that. I also think Ozzy's two prime candidates to vote for are Cochran and Coach. After that, I'd probably say Albert, and then after that, I think it's a toss-up.
Keith and Witt?
Keith, I think, probably votes for Albert. His order of ranking would be, like, Albert, then maybe Coach or Sophie. I don't know. Hard to say from there. I think he's just going to respect Albert as a cut from the same cloth type, even though Albert isn't cut from the same cloth because Albert seems to have a brain and Keith doesn't seem to have much strategy in him. But I think that'll drive Keith's vote. Whitney's going to vote for Albert or Sophie. Because she has, and if those two aren't available, she'll vote for Coach because she thinks nobody else is playing a game worth.
Yeah, no, you're right. She kind of laid out her case already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think there's a glimmer, a tiny glimmer of hope for her voting for Cochran, despite her her tirade on him. You know, 3 tribal councils.
Right.
Ago,
yeah. But again, she was willing to work with him. So, but again, that was sort of the last.
But yeah.
Gap.
She was willing to work with him, but yeah, she was willing to work with him because she had no other knives in the drawer.
Do you think Jim will be able to summon objectivity for his vote at the end?
You mean if Cochran's there?
If Cochran's there, you know.
I think he might. I don't think the potential is there for him. I give Jim a smaller chance of voting for Cochran than Ozzy.
Yeah. But greater than Whitney?
Greater than Whitney, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a very decent chance that Dawn will vote for Cochran.
Yeah.
I'd put her at the same level as Ozzy, maybe even ahead of Ozzy in terms of chances she votes for Cochran if he's there.
So at this point, Albert, Sophie, Cochran, Coach should be scratching and clawing to try to drag Edna and Rick with them to the final.
Like, or Brandon, any one of those. Any
even,
two of those.
But three. I think even Brandon could talk his way more out of it than Edna or
Are you
or
kidding
Rick
me?
Could. Yeah, I think he could. I think that's that kind of crazy where, like, you're like, you know,
Brandon couldn't
crazy,
talk his way through
like
a drive-thru order. Okay, I mean, like, he'd
saying.
Show up at McDonald's and he'd be like, I'll take a deep dish pepperoni.
Whatever he would say, Chris, whatever he would say, you would feel something after he said it. Whether or not that makes sense, like.
Sorry for him, I think it's about the only thing.
It would create an
Sorry
emotion.
For him intellectually.
It would create an emotion that Rick and Edna would not be able to summon.
Well, yeah. I mean, Rick... is there... I mean... There's the chances that Rick makes the final, I feel like, are so good. And it's going to be hilarious. What is he going to say? What is he going to say? Like, I have no idea. Mostly because I have, like, I don't even know what his voice would sound like. I don't know what language.
What if it's just a lot of, like, nodding and, like, mustache twitching and, like.
Yeah. Like.
Did you see him during, like, the rice thing? It was great.
I don't even know if he has a drawl, if he, like, uses slang. Like, I have no clue how he's putting together an argument, let alone sentences. Edna will talk her head off.
Yeah, but it'll be a bunch of blah.
Yeah, it'll wear thin on people quickly.
Oh yeah. So maybe Edna is the one you want with you the most.
Yes, definitely she's the one you want with you the most.
She's just universally reviled, even within her own tribe. Like, no one likes her.
Yeah.
No.
Well, and she's basically Cochran minus gameplay, right? I mean, her and Cochran were sort of in the same spots on their tribes in terms of being deemed the weakest, the most eligible to be voted out at the next council because we need to keep the tribe strong, etc. And they sort of attached themselves to the returning cast members' coattails in Ozzy and Coach, and Cochran did some gameplay, and Edna just, you know, yips around like a little chihuahua.
Yeah, no, that's completely the right thing. She's the lapdog for Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I think we covered our bases. I don't know, is there anything you want to hit before we get out of here?
The only thing I want to add is just, you know, I think from a the production standpoint for the show, this episode I feel like was actually a pretty good exhibition of how the show is flatlined big time. You know, what's that?
I'm not going to argue that at all.
Yeah, I mean they did a whole bunch of stuff here that was all event based. You know, like there was like 6 minutes total of island footage. You know, everything was the Redemption Island challenge, the immunity challenge, and sitting at Tribal Council.
Yeah,
and you know, I feel like they're trying to fill episodes with that. I really feel like they need to bring back the tribal shuffle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too late now, obviously, because there's only one tribe. But they need to bring back the tribal shuffle element, because they need to... Clearly, based on the last two seasons, the concept... You know, we've gone full circle, right? We've gone all the way back to the original two seasons of Survivor, where it was just stick to your tribe, vote out, stick to your alliance, vote everybody else out, and we'll sort the rest of the crap out later.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And the answer for that last time was the shuffle. And I would be in favor of, like, perhaps even some sort of, like, crazy, like, redraw, like, after every week for new tribes or something like that. Something that causes there to be lots of marginal relationships formed.
Yeah.
So that when you get down
to the... There's something to cultivate, like, at the end, like establish this and, like, we can build on what we had, like, when we were together for 2 weeks.
Right.
Instead of, like, I just met you and I can't have any way of trusting you, so I'm just going to stick with the people I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I gotcha.
When you get to the merge and haven't had any tribal shuffling of any sort, and even in the past, there's been other seasons where they didn't do any shuffling, but at the very least there was, like, you know, you both ended up on Exile, you had one person from each tribe end up on Exile Island together, and so the little relationships would form there, and that caused some rifts and caused some shifting in dynamics.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's no reason to shift. No,
or how about
you have no relationship.
How about this? Put both the tribes on the same beach. Why do they need to be divided?
That's a great idea. That's another way they could do it.
Well, why divide them?
Mark Burnett, are you listening?
All right, Chris, let's wrap this up. We've gone far enough. Where can they find us on cyberspace?
They can find us out.
Are we on the tubes? Are we on the series of tubes that connects everything?
The information superhighway?
The intertubes.
We are at the exit called at Tribal Podcast on the information superhighway known as Twitter.
Ah, the Twitter. I know the Twitter.
Yes. And we are also at the junction labeled podcast at tc.vanb.net. For email.
All right.
Is that a strange enough metaphor to deliver the information?
I can appreciate the road metaphors more than anyone.
Yeah. People are going to be driving around listening to this podcast in their car. Where is the tribal podcast at? I didn't see that on the sign. It said Chicago is in 120 miles.
Join us next week as the Upaluvians reunite to vote each other off, hopefully one at a time instead of two an episode, and maybe we'll even get the auction to come back, although I doubt it.
I forgot about the auction.
Yeah, how could you forget the auction? All right. On behalf of Chris, I'm Ralph. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.